Welcome to the first episode of the Survivor Rock Draw. Phil and Will are here, and we're going to be taking topics from you. So these topics were pre-sent in by patrons or fans, and they were talking about different Survivor topics they want discussed by Will and I. We don't know what we're going to get, though. We are going to put this into a random generator, and we are then going to decide our topic live here on the spot. Now, for this one, since the video is going to be here because this is going to be going onto YouTube as well as Patreon as a preview, you will be able to see the wheel be spun. In future episodes, Will and I, these will be on just Patreon for $10 and $20 patrons. So I'll click the wheel and Will will have to react very strongly so that you know it's authentic.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what the... Obviously, I don't know what the wheel is going to choose, but I don't know what even is on the wheel. So I'm coming in very cold to this. And I got to give you props here, Phil. This is a great name for a Survivor podcast. You would ask me like, hey, I want to do this topic idea where people and fans can toss out topics in the Discord. And I said, how about just Survivor Grab Bag, where we just say it's a grab bag, anything Survivor related, we'll talk about it. And then, Phil, you're usually not the most creative, best at naming things. And you said, how about the Survivor Rock Draw? And I'm like, wow, Phil, out of nowhere. So kudos to you. I think this is going to be a really fun podcast. It's on theme with Survivor and drawing rocks. We are going to do it random every time. Hopefully these don't require like a lot of research and looking into like making lists or rankings, because it is tough with Survivor now that we are 45 seasons in to just like remember your favorite or best of everything. But I'm excited to see what these topics are. Hopefully we can talk about them. I'm sure we can. We love talking about Survivor, but again, I don't know what these topics are.
Yeah, I'll give myself one little pat on the back there because, Will, you're 100% right. Normally, I go to you for the names. Normally, you're the guy who I say, Will, I need a name for this. Can you give me one? And so when I came up with Survivor Rock Draw, I was really proud of myself. But I also think that as a community, we become so tired of the Rock Draw in so many ways. It was so refreshing when we saw people actually pick each other for rewards or have to make decisions rather than just pulling out of a bag and saying, okay, that's what it is, because random fate said it.
When you think of Rock Draw, do you think... See, my brain goes to like Marquesas, Blood vs. Water.
I think either one works.
So that's where I think, when it's an unbreakable tie and it's like, hey, someone randomly is going to get this off-colored rock. Whereas now we see it almost every... I mean, we see it too much. And I've been doing the rewatch, the new Era Rewatch podcast, and I mentioned how like... when we break up into groups or teams, like, can we do something else than drawing rocks? We are seeing it, you know, quite a bit here.
Yeah. So a little tongue in cheek here, and you all submit your ideas. So if you're in our Discord, if you are a patron, submit your ideas into the Discord. $5, $10, $20 patron. Doesn't matter what tier of patronage you are, you get access to the Discord. Go in there, be active, talk about whatever it is you want to talk about, whether it's Survivor, movies, TV shows, other shows. Anything goes over there. So get in there and talk. And there is a section that is just labeled Survivor Rock Draw. So throw your ideas in there. Right now we have 7 ideas for today, and none of them are lists or anything like that. So it's 7 ideas that are all just random questions. Somebody did throw in a list one, but it's very, very same to what we're going to be doing with our second chances. So it really wasn't worth it to sit here and do that, because that's going to take away from some of the reveals we're going to have with our Second Chances podcast with Russell Muscle TV. So we have 7 ideas here. I'm going to be spinning the wheel, and then Will and I are just going to blab. Like I said, this is every other week. Starting January 10th is the first episode of release, but this is every single other week. So this won't just be twice a month. If there's 3 Wednesdays in a month, then this will come out 3 Wednesdays. So this is just every other week for $10 and $20 patrons. And all right, well, let's get the wheel. You excited to see the wheel?
I'm excited to see the wheel, and I'm also excited to see what's on the wheel. Like, what are the topics that we're even, you know, I'm excited to see where it lands, but.
So I shortened the names on the wheel because the questions were very long and I wanted it to be able to be seen.
Upside down. Survivor ready.
Survivor ready.
Survivor ready.
Yes. Nice guy. Challenge. Oh, it's on the side. Perfect game. Yeah. Social game, Survivor twist, and winners. And I'm going to go ahead and spin the wheel, and then I will tell you what the topic is.
Dum, oh, this is exciting. Dum, 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 dum. Trying to make a drum roll, especially if you're listening to the audio version.
All right. So our first topic is going to be nice guy. So let me explain.
Is this about us, Bill?
It is. It's actually, so we're doing this entire podcast now dedicated to Will and just what a great guy he is. So this one came from, where is it? I got to find it now, actually, on here. Boop, boop, boop.
Okay. That's the name?
Yeah. The name of this one is Boop, Boop, Boop. No, so this came from Corwin Green, who is a two-time Buff winner, won both the fantasy game and the power rankings game this past year.
Damn.
And so Corwin asked, why don't people win Survivor by being the nice guy sitting at the end anymore? And I think this is something we've seen where a lot of the third-place finishers in the new era of Survivor are people that everybody talks about really liking, and yet they get zero votes at the end, which that was not the case. Like Sugar back in Gabon, people weren't going, oh man, I loved Sugar, but she just didn't play the game to get the votes. It's totally different. It's totally different circumstances right now. So that's the topic we got here. What is it about the nice guy that just doesn't get the win?
Are we sure that we aren't maybe getting some nice guy wins? Like look at Gabler's win. Is he someone that controlled the entire game and was this powerful, dominant player? I think people just kind of liked Gabler. Obviously, he did play the game. I'm not saying he didn't. And even if you look at Erica or Marianne, I wouldn't say that either of those two players dominated the game strategically. And I think both of those players were extremely likable. So I think we should start by saying, is the premise of this question, are we agreeing that we aren't getting any nice guy winners? And obviously, if you're winning Survivor in the modern era, you have to do something game wise. And maybe that's more of the question, but I do feel as though like being likable is still a major, major factor at getting jury votes at the end.
I agree with you on that. I guess really what the question comes down to is with Survivor season 43, was Gabler the nice guy at the end or was Owen the nice guy at the end? And I feel like it was Owen. I feel like Owen was the person that people really liked sitting at the end, who just had zero agency in the entire game, so they couldn't give him votes. Same with 42. Romeo was somebody people really liked and were always like supportive of. And when he won that final,
like Romeo?
Yeah, they did. I think people did like Romeo. I really do.
It was all complaints about him eating the rice and not doing anything at camp. And they would,
well, wouldn't Mike Turner be the nice guy then? Because his entire
I think so. Maybe the question is, why doesn't the nicest person win? Maybe that's it. The nicest guy.
Yeah, I guess though, like if you want to look at this as like the real examples, right? If you go back to Gabon, which was the one that was the easiest one for me to say, you have Bob win that season over Sugar. And I'm not saying Sugar played a great game, because Sugar obviously pissed off every single person on that jury. But Bob beating Susie was definitely just because people liked Bob more than they liked Susie or Sugar. It really didn't have much to do with the game. And it, you know, you go then two seasons later when you have Natalie beat Russell.
I think JT over Steven might be a better example. Like if we're really going to flip this thing on its head here, because Steven, if we're playing that season in the 30s or 40s or even like the late 20s, like Steven's winning that. Like Steven's not getting no votes, mm-hmm, because Steven amped up the strategic game and the numbers and the votes and playing hard. While JT was just, everyone just loved that dude. People were on that season saying, you know, if I don't win, I would just love for JT to win. He's such a great guy. I appreciate that guy. Let's give him the million. I think that even though, you know, JT is looked at as this great winner, I just think he might be the nice guy in the Gabon example. And I think a lot of these examples, and we've already kind of talked about this, it's like, who is the final three? Who are you sitting next to? Who are the alternatives that you're voting for? So with Bob, it's like, wait, are we really going to give Sugar or Susie the win here? Like, probably not. And maybe Bob is the nicest guy, but I think that's more so a product of circumstance on who he's sitting next to.
Well, and I think with Survivor 39, I would argue Tommy was the nice guy. Tommy didn't win any immunities. He didn't get a single advantage the entire game. And he cleaned up in votes at the end. I mean, he was sitting next to Dean and Nora. So I don't really, like, Nora was obviously more like the crazy archetype. Dean, I don't really know what Dean's archetype was, because they forgot he was on the show for the first couple episodes of that.
DK chilling, baby.
Yeah, DK chilling. I guess chilling.
Chilling the whole pre-merch.
He was chilling.
Yeah.
Chilling right into a second place finish. But Tommy was kind of the nice guy. Although when you look at that final three, there really wasn't a disliked person sitting in that final three. So that's kind of like a tough example there with season 39. Even though Tommy, I think, would be considered a nice guy in air quotes.
Yeah, I guess let's just accept the question as being true. Like, we're not getting you have to do more than being nice. Maybe that's what that we should talk about. And, you know, I think it's just a product of like the show being more about the game and the advantages and the twists. And we're so focused on the strategy and gameplay of it all that it's what juries want to award. Like a jury, they might say, I love you. Like, you are my best friend on the season. I think you deserve the money over everyone, but you didn't play the best game, so I am not voting for you. And that certainly was not the case back in, you know, the first probably 20 seasons of the show. It was about getting jury votes from, like, get people to like you, so they want to award you $1 million. But that's because there weren't that many game elements in the show to use. Like, if there's like one or two idols per season, and we saw for a while, a winner never played an idol correctly until Mike in season 30, I want to say. So like, even though idols were in the game, it wasn't like a thing you had to do to win.
Russell Hance played two right in Samoa.
He didn't win.
Oh, you're talking about just winners. Okay.
Yeah, gotcha. He didn't win, Phil. Yeah. You survivor specialist over here.
I thought you were just saying nobody
played. A winner never played an idol on themselves until Mike and 30. I could be wrong, but it was very late. Like, Tony did some shenanigans where he like held on to his idol that could be played after the votes, and he just lied about what it did and never actually played it successfully. I want to say maybe Tony did it in 28. But what I'm saying is, when there's one or two idols in the game and that's it, then it's not a big part of what juries are looking for. But when you get into later seasons where you have like six idols in a season and then extra votes and idol steals and idol nullifiers and knowledge is power and like all of these gameplay elements, like, we didn't see the extra vote until season 30. So like, for the first 30 seasons, we're not seeing like winners play idols on themselves, and we're not even seeing any other advantages. Like, okay, maybe there's small things like an advantage in the challenge or something, but in terms of like playable game strategic advantages, that doesn't come until into the 30s. So early on, what are your tools to gain jury votes? It is being likable. It is being nice. Whereas now we have so many other tools to play the game that the focus shifts from being nice. And now it's like, hey, what did you do with this? And even if you don't have advantages, it's like Omer didn't really have he lost his vote in 42, but guess what? He plays the knowledge is power against Drea, which became a really, really big move. He was the one who told Mike. So he didn't even have an advantage, but he used what was in the game. And that's just what the jury wants. And that's what they're looking for now, because if you just sit back and don't do anything, people will be like, that's a cop out. You didn't do anything to earn your win, even though I really like you and find you to be a nice guy.
What's fun about doing this podcast with you now is we're coming into season 46, and the last time you and I podcasted together was season 33, because you left at the beginning of season 34. So it's been such a long gap. But then when you try to compare what's happening in the new era, season 45, to what happened in season 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you forget that it's like the same show. It used to be so easy. When we first started this podcast, you could compare winners, you could rank non-winners, you could rank stuff so easily. And I think we did a non-winners ranking either right before or right after season 30. And that was an easy ranking to do because everybody was essentially still playing the same game. The game is not the same anymore. So much has changed. If you go back and look at the first 10 seasons of the show, it literally, you didn't get far in the game unless people could stand being around you. If people didn't enjoy being around you, you wouldn't get far, which is why we had more nice guys sitting at the end. The reason Ethan made it far in Africa and then gets voted out early in Winners at War is the same reason. It's because he's a nice guy that people like. But in Winners at War, they're looking at that as, we got to get rid of this early, and we want to take goats to the end and people who are going to, you know, people who aren't going to necessarily threaten our game. Whereas back in Africa, it was, of course, we want Ethan to keep coming through the game. We enjoy spending time with him. And I think that's where the game has changed so much, is you can get far in the game now by being absolutely despised. Whereas in the first 10 seasons of the show, you couldn't get far in the game by absolutely being despised. And there'd be people who were despised, but that came out more after the show or after they screwed somebody over. Not really from day one, oh my God, I can't believe I have to sit here and listen to Gandia talk. That's terrible. And then Gandia is going to go home third or fourth person out of the game every time because that's what old school Survivor was. Nowadays, you'd look at Gandia and you'd say, maybe we keep her around a little bit. Her and, you know, her and Ted with the whole situation, that's not really going well. Let's maybe we keep this around because, you know, she's a, is she going to get votes at the end? So I think that's where the nice guy thing has changed dramatically.
Yeah, I find it hard to imagine like someone like Ethan, or maybe not someone like Ethan, but a game like Ethan's in Africa, like just, hey, I'm just going to be really nice and hopefully I vote the right way. I don't piss anyone off and I'm just going to get to the end. Like there's just so much you have to do. And it's also the game is just throwing more at you. Like when we split into two groups of five after the merge, like you have to figure out a way to survive that even if your closest allies aren't with you. We're like losing votes. Like in 45, we're losing three votes at an immunity challenge. You might not get it back. So there's more that you have to overcome to get to the end. So even if you play a nice guy game and you're super nice, to get to the end, you're going to have to do something. Like the chances of just skating by are so thin just because the game is throwing so much at you also. That might be another reason.
Yeah. Who else would you consider to be? I know you said JT, which I think is a good example because everybody really liked JT, but we got to see JT's game in maybe a way that they weren't seeing his game. But who else would you consider to be the example? Because Ethan, I think, is the quintessential nice person, won the game because he was well-liked. And I mean, he was sitting next to Kim Johnson, so he's going to get the votes. But that seems to be the quintessential one. Are there others that like pop into your head before this era that like we would say, no, they have no chance to win now?
Well, I think Natalie White is like we kind of already mentioned her, but that's a great example of someone who the jury liked her a lot more than the other people sitting there. And it didn't matter what they did in the game. And that was season 19. So that is still part of that era where it's like, we just like you better. Like anyone objectively can say Russell played the game harder and better strategically. When it comes to strategy and gameplay, Russell completely outshined Natalie, but that's not the entire game. It's still being likable enough to get $1 million. I mean, that's the premise from the start, is vote these people off and do it in a way where they can turn around and vote for you to win $1 million, even though you had a hand in voting them off. That is, you know, one of the main premise of the show from season one. And Natalie does that. So I think she is a great example of that. Now, if Russell made all those moves and wasn't a complete jerk and, you know, lost the trust and disrespect and just have the jury not like him as a human and not want to give $1 million, does he win over Natalie super likable? Well, yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. So again, it's really circumstantial with who you're sitting next to. The nice guy probably doesn't win unless there's like the opposite end of the spectrum also there where it's like, we just don't like you. I mean, you could also look at Fabio in 21. I mean, this is like two seasons later. He was sitting with Chase and
Sash.
Yeah. Sash, and Sash was not likable at all. People did not want to vote for him. And then it was like, okay, who played a better game, Fabio or Chase? I think you could argue one either way with their strategic merits. I mean, Fabio was kind of on the bottom the whole time. I think he made one really good move at the Benry vote where he just said, I'm not going to try to stay in. Like one kind of gameplay where we really got into his strategy. But other than that, they're just like, damn, Fabio, we just like you, man.
We just like you.
And maybe that's a better example of like, Chase maybe wins that in the new era or modern Survivor, and Fabio isn't winning because the game has shifted.
I would argue that season 17 through 21 are the prime example of the nice guy winning, because you have Bob, then you have JT, and then you have Natalie. And then season 20, people aren't going to believe this, but it's Sandra. And she's the nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. She might not be the nice guy when it comes to like Survivor history, but she's the nice guy out of Parvati, Russell, and Sandra. And then 21 is Fabio. And honestly, you can make the argument Rob won his, but you can make the argument with Sophie too, because people didn't like Coach as much as they liked Sophie. They just liked Sophie a little bit more. Now, they did also give a lot of credit to Sophie's game because they were talking
about Sophie's not a nice, because that wasn't her main trait. Her main trait that she was like babysitting Coach and like playing a strategic game.
They made her cry purposefully.
Exactly what she means. Yeah. I wouldn't classify her as like, because she was doing way more. But yeah, I think that's a good point. Honestly, those seasons are all really good. Like I always say like 15 to
Nicaragua.
I was going to say 15 to 20 for me is like, that is pure golden era Survivor. Just go from China to Heroes vs. Villains, and it's just knockout, knockout, knockout. Mm-hmm. Great fun season, and we do get a lot of nice guys winners. I'm not as down on Nicaragua as you. I think Fabio is one of the most unique and fun winners, and we have some kooky characters on that season. I think why people hate it so much is it came right after Heroes Villains, so it gets kind of a bad rap that way. You go rewatch Nicaragua. It's not that bad.
I've tried. Really?
Like, dude, Marty is great. Bobby is great. Out,
I
Brenda.
I have a hard time. They under-edit the crap out of so many people on there, and they give so much screen time to Nayanka, and Nayanka just aggravates the hell out of me. And then I just, like, that was the, to me, that was the ultimate season of, what is it? Like, Mactors and stuff. That was the ultimate season of none of these people give a crap that they're here. And you need to find that balance in Survivor of you want to be here, but you're also not just casting super fans, because right now they're just casting super fans. And that's not generally making the best Survivor cast either. So Nicaragua kind of drove me crazy. I like Fabio's win a lot. I really do. But that season, the more I've tried to rewatch it so many times, and that's just cannot get through
Weird.
I can't get through it.
Yeah, the ones I can't get through are Redemption Island and One World.
Those
to me, I just I don't even need to watch this. At least with Fabio, you're like, how did he pull this off? I got to figure out what went down here. Yeah. We're kind of getting off topic, though.
But he is the nice guy winner.
He is a nice guy.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Who's our most recent nice guy winner? Who's the closest?
So I talked about Tommy, but again, it comes down to who's he sitting next to. So he's not just winning because he's the nice guy, because he wasn't sitting next to anybody that people were just like outwardly repulsed by.
I also felt like Tommy was in control of the game.
He was in control. Him and Lori controlled that game.
Yeah.
And Janet. They were
other things. I'm more thinking of like, who's our last winner that really didn't have any strategic merits when they were speaking to the jury. And just
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Probably Michelle.
Yeah. Michelle, it was just super likable. Yeah, that's a good one.
She sat next to Aubrey, who pissed everybody off with the, because she had to get her hands dirty, and Michelle didn't have to get her hands dirty, and Michelle did a better job of keeping the jury on her side. And obviously, you all know how I feel about Michelle. I think she's one of the greats, but I think that she is a nice guy winner, and that is why maybe we don't see as many winners like Michelle, because the backlash after the Michelle win was pretty significant.
It was huge. We loved it. We were basking in the glory of
I still love Michelle. To this day, I always compare it. It's like, can you be as good as Sandra? Yes. Can you be as good as Michelle? No. That's how I always feel about it, you know?
I just remember like watching that finale and being like, God, this is just the easiest Aubrey layup. Like, and she's getting so much like content explaining everything. And it was just like, man, they're just shoving. So to be that shocked and surprised and this is even like after the final travel counts, like the Final Travel Council, Michelle does a great job. You're like, oh my gosh, she might have a chance. But then I just can't, I can't remember being that shocked at a vote reveal in a really long time.
Gabler to me was the most shocking. But
I think at Final Tribal, I'm like, I guess Gabler's winning. I'm saying after Final Tribal. I mean, Erica was pretty shocking, but then
who's going to beat her?
You're like, wait, I don't think it feels like Xander and Deshaun aren't winning. Yeah. And Erica doesn't really make sense, but I guess she has to win.
If you want to get a great feel for how the two of us are as a pair, if you're new to this podcast, if you're just tuning into, okay, who is Will? I didn't listen to this pre-Alexa. What is this going to be like? Go listen to our jury roulette for Survivor Co-Wrong, where I think I almost call every single vote correctly in that jury roulette. I really do.
But it's like, hold on. I just like how it's like, here's how you get to know the both.
No,
of
no,
us.
No. But it was
in our duo. And Will is coming back. Let me just send you to a podcast where I predicted everything correctly.
But it was a great conversation because it showed how Will will argue with me over everything, even when I'm right. So you'll really get an idea of the sense of it. And also by that point, Will was so tired of hearing me talk about Michelle that he was just ready to like throw his computer across the room. But it's actually that's a really fun episode because we used to go through jury roulette and do every single jury member because it used to be a little bit easier to do that because there weren't as many jury members. And we would go through every single one of them. And I remember us sitting there being like, okay,
do you not do that anymore?
We don't do it quite to that level because we have a guest on with us when we're doing it. So to sit there and go one at a time is kind of difficult because, you know, that was back in our heyday.
We've gotten too big. You're too popular.
We're too big for our own bridges.
Survivor alums. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the going through the jury votes is all, and there's only eight jury. There's not a lot of jury members on these. I mean, eight. It's always eight into three in the new era, I think.
Yeah. So I guess I lied. And I guess really the reason is because we always have a guest and we're not going to sit here and be like, okay, but here's the example. Now give me every single person and who they're going to be a 12-hour podcast. And I think the guest would never come on again. So
I'm trying to think. So you're saying Michelle at 32. Adam at 33, he was a gamer.
Yeah, he was
a gamer. Sarah's a gamer. Ben, just idle machine.
Yeah, he wasn't the likable guy. Because I mean, Ryan
Wendell and Dom. I mean, Dom is definitely the more strategic, gung-ho, playing hard. And it was weird how that jury broke out. It was like, I think the first five people all voted Dom, and then the last five jury members all voted Wendell, or maybe it was flipped.
Something like that. No, it was the last five because Sebastian voted for Wendell, and it was like Sebastian and
he voted Wendell because he's like, Dom, you're being an ass, basically.
Yeah,
like he was saying, you're playing this game too hard and not in a respectful manner. Whereas the people earlier on maybe didn't get to see that and they're just seeing tribal and they're respecting his game more. But I think, I mean, you could say, hey, Wendell was the nicer one, but hey, they tied and it came down to Laurel and Wendell was closer with Laurel.
Wendell also had some big moves in that season.
Right. He was also a gamer as well. 37, Nick, tough one there. I mean, he was.
You could say he's the nice guy over Angelina, but I don't think he was the nice guy over Mike White. I would argue people on the cast get along better with Mike White than they do Nick.
Mm-hmm. Chris is tough in 38. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's probably Michelle.
I think Michelle's a good answer there.
Yeah. Maybe you could say it was Erica, but I don't know, man. I think that at that point, I think Xander and Deshaun just played so bad that the only option was Erica, you know, or they had played so bad.
They played so badly. I mean, at least from what we were seeing, they were both major characters, but I think the show obscured how badly they managed the jury that they had
chance. What it was.
Like we thought as an audience that they might have a chance, but it was to the jury. I think they're like, oh yeah, we're definitely voting Erica.
So
and that might have been, yeah, she might be a nice because she really only controls like two votes right at the end. Yeah. She's not like this power player from the get-go.
Yeah. Don't ever log into our Twitter because then you'll see that the Twitter sphere thinks Erica is like one of the great winners of all time. And you'll just be like, oh, okay. Anyway,
I mean, I don't think she's a bad winner, but I don't think she's like, and it's not her fault. And if you want to catch the new era rewatch, I just have finished rewatching 41 and 42. I break down Erica's win in tremendous detail. So if you want to hear more about like that whole, how that went down.
Did you give her more time than the show actually gave her?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
That, I mean, that was the big thing. It was just figuring out why Survivor did this to Erica. What was actually going on, trying to just piece together everything because at the time it was a pretty confusing win and like, why are you doing this? So I try to answer those questions.
Yeah, no, I like that. So We have a couple minutes left here, not many, but let's in these last couple minutes just ask this. Season 46, season 47, season 48. Do you think there's the potential for a nice guy winner, this type? Like we're saying it's been since Michelle, right? Since season 32. Do you think that there's the potential for this nice guy winner and what would the circumstances need to be?
I really don't think we're going to see one like honestly ever again. Mm-hmm. I really don't. Just because the only way we get it is if it's a final three and two of the people are total jury goats. Like they're just not getting votes and you have someone just kind of win fire right at the end who was really likable, didn't do much. But even that, like winning fire and it's just like if you're all the way at final four in the new era, I find it really hard that you haven't done anything at all. Like you might still be like, hey, we're going to vote for this person because they're the nicest of the three. And that's the reason they win. But I find it hard for a jury to just award someone that didn't do anything with all the things that are thrown at them. So, yeah. I mean, that's the only way that it's going to happen. I guess where you have like two super strategic power dominant players and then a third who somehow wins, it's got to be because the other two are like Russell, you know, that they're just not likable. Again, I find it.
Yeah, because
it could happen. I don't want to say never. It could definitely happen. And with all the randomness and all the things they throw, you know, when we're splitting in these small groups and we're losing votes, you could have someone who's in a very safe alliance. Maybe they even have an idol. It could get nullified. It could get stolen by knowledge is power. Like, there are so many random things that can happen that, yeah, maybe I won't rule that. I won't say never. But also, because of that randomness, you have to do something to survive it, which makes you less of that stereotypical, yeah, hey, I just played socially, everyone likes me.
Yeah, because I would say, you know, just briefly, we were talking about Chris. Chris is one of those where the jury definitely just liked him more. But it's not like Gavin and Julie were goats. Like, Gavin played a solid game of Survivor. And Julie
was so bad at Final Travel.
He was bad at Final Travel, exactly. But that doesn't mean he's like, he's not a goat. He's not
losing. Right. He wasn't a goat. And also, yeah. I mean, that's such an outlier season where, yeah, like, Gavin and Julie hadn't met like half the jury members, and Chris, yeah, was living with them for like what, 25 days, 26, yeah, days. So it's not really a fair. That's just,
yeah,
yeah.
So it's Michelle.
Yeah. It's Michelle. And anytime we can bring up Michelle, hey.
Yeah. So now, yeah, for the next hour and 45 minutes, I'm going to talk about all the things Michelle's done right. Okay. You have anything else you want to talk about with why the nice guy doesn't win Survivor?
I think we nailed it. I like this question, and not to right at the start be like, let's even see if the premise is right. I wanted to get kind of a baseline of what we're thinking about. And I did enjoy the topic quite a bit. So thank you for sending that one in. I hope we get more great topics like this. I still don't, even though I've seen the wheel, I don't know. Like, one of them just said like winner. So it's like, yeah, what could that be? Or like social. So I kind of forget the other ones, but yeah, I don't really know what the other topics even are. I guess I could go in the Discord and check it out, which I will be more in the Discord once we hit the new year.
Yeah. Once we hit the new year. And, so if you would like your topic to be a part of the wheel, get in the Discord, comment it there. If you're just a patron here, or I mean, if you're just watching this on YouTube, you can leave comments and things like that. It could lead to ideas, but we're always going to give the preferential treatment to the patrons because this is a patron podcast. So if you're just a fan who's watching this and going, wow, this is a really cool idea, you can leave a comment, but you're not gonna be able to hear us talk about your comment unless you become a patron. So, you know,
yeah, if you're hearing this and you're like, what a name that is. What a, yeah, great name. Good job, Phil.
Just keep patting myself. So yeah, Survivor Rock Draw episode number one. Thank you all so much for listening. If you want to become a patron and hear this, as I said, every other week, patreon.com/thespecialist. Go over there, check out all the other things we're offering. Will's mentioned his new era rewatch. We have our Every Season Matters, which is chugging along at this point. There's even movie stuff in there, and there is a Q&A. So there's plenty of stuff going on over there. Casting Perspective, which is in the same tier as this Survivor Rock Draw. So if the Casting Perspective is something that you're interested in, you could go join for this tier, and you would also be able to listen to us talk about casting and the Survivor Rock Draw. That's it. That's what I got. Thank you all so much. And thank you, Corwin, for the idea. And we'll see you guys next time.